When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Y'all Gay. It's me, Allie Clayton. Y'all, I got a little bit of sad news for you this week. Unfortunately, I got real sick, and then I had to go out of state for a funeral, so we just weren't able to record a new episode this week, y'all. Sorry about that, but life happens, you know what I mean? So, we have decided to re-release episode 3, Suck One Once Don't Mean Ya Gay. One of my most favorite episodes. You can hear me talk about fingering a girl in a chicken vestibule and my all-time favorite story of coming out to my daddy. It is also a story that is on my album, Country Queer, which drops on May 31st. Y'all, right now the album is available for pre-order. You know, I hate doing these things, but I gotta do them, guys. I gotta promote myself. It would really, really help me out if you have the means to go and pre-order my album. Some of y'all have already messaged me. You've already pre-ordered it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it so much. But yeah, you could find the link in my bio on Instagram to go and get it. Or you can go to my record label, Blonde Medicine, www.blondemedicine.com, and you can order it from there. You can order a download or a vinyl, and the vinyl looks really cool. I made the album cover look like an old country music album. Well, I didn't do it, but a designer and photographer. Yeah, so I'm really excited about Country Queer, and I hope that y'all will pre-order it. And if not, I hope you listen to it when it comes out on May 31st on Spotify or wherever you listen to music and comedy. Okay, I'm rambling. Well, I love y'all and you're so gay. And enjoy Suck One Once Don't Mean You Gay.
...of learning new languages with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. It's Babbel time.
Y'all know I have learning disabilities. I'm dyslexic and have ADHD. And I love that with Babbel, you can go at your own pace. And each convenient course is only 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day, y'all. That's all it takes to learn a new language.
And with Babbel, you can learn everything you need, like how to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to basic phrases to culture. Like, y'all could hang with Babbel.
Plus, what I really like is that Babbel has speech recognition technology that I think some of our more southern listeners will love because it helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. Everybody knows my accent's thicker than a 9 1/4 hot dog on a summer night, and Babbel actually understands me, y'all.
One thing I really love about Babbel is the content I'm learning is personalized. I get real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations that help me stay focused and motivated. That's why 15 hours with Babbel is equal to one university semester. Y'all, that's the most university I've done.
Y'all, it is 2024, and it's time to be the best you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
So here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/y'all gay.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/y'all gay, spelled babbel.com/y'all gay.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey y'all, the tea is crystal clear, y'all. Y'all say y'all gay, it's Allie and Ever here, y'all. We got a lot to talk about, so let us ask you now, y'all gay.
All right, it sounded like somebody was walking up the steps and I was like, get out of here, Satan.
It's just a ghost wanting a cup of sugar.
Man, it always is. It's like, get out of here. I ain't got to give you any sugar.
I was just on the road and like...
How were the shows?
First one in Massachusetts was great. The kids like loved it. A lot of queer kids came.
That's great.
Yeah. Like, always reach out to like the LGBTQI, like... groups on campus and like personally invite mm-hmm. them, because I just feel like stand up is such a like male centered straight male centered mm-hmm. world that like if they see stand up comedies coming, they're not gonna assume that one it's gonna be a female, or that it's, and certainly not that it's gonna be a queer female. So I reached out to a lot of them and they came. And then the second show was like a Catholic university.
It was tight.
It was so like they were like, just don't do any jokes about priest or abortion. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't have any jokes about priest or abortion, actually. Can I talk about Southern Baptist? I got some shit to talk about them.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, yeah. Body of Christ.
So yeah, that was good. And then there was like one student who was just like really loving it, and he came up to me after the show and was like, Allie, I was just wondering if you drive a Subaru Outback, because I have heard that that is the official car of lesbians. And I'm like, no, I drive my mom's 2005 Dodge Caravan.
I mean, it's roomy. I've been in it. I love it. I'm like, yeah.
And he was just like such like a sweet kid. And I was like, you know what? He followed me, and I was like, I never do it, but I was like, I'm going to follow him back. Never. He has still not accepted my follow request.
Damn, what a little bitch.
I thought I was doing this nice thing, and he's like, no. You
rescind the offer.
Weird old lady.
He's like, all right.
Weird old lesbian who doesn't even drive a Subaru Outback. And when I pulled into Scranton, Pennsylvania, there was a freaking Trump rally happening.
Why are they still having rallies?
Yeah. I was like, he lost.
He lost a long time ago. Yep. Why are we still talking about this?
Yeah. I'm walking around with American flag capes on and big signs.
Just rallying for Trump?
Apparently.
Saying.
So when I went in the hotel, the lady was like, do you want a lower floor or a higher floor? And I was like, well, I like higher. I was like, but honestly, can you just put me wherever the Trump supporters aren't? And
did she?
Yeah. She was like, don't worry. They're not staying here. She was like, they're leaving now. Because, like, I guess, like, the rally was, like, ending or whatever.
Ew.
But I see, like, this, like, big, like, family that had, like, four kids. And they're just, like, dragging their kids to this. I'm like... But apparently Trump was like riding through Scranton or had something.
This is uncomfortable. It's like,
yeah,
same shit Hitler did. Anyways, are you ready to record? Okay, Neil, now we're really going to record.
Now we're really ready, Neil.
Neil, we're ready. Sorry, Allie, I'm so hungover. I'm really trying to dial it in, listeners.
I'm not hungover. I'm just tired. I'm just worn out from life.
Man, life, it has a way of doing that to you. Honestly, like, it was so hard. So my friends, my upstairs neighbors had a party, and it's just the two of us where I live. I live on the bottom unit. They live up top. I guess you might call it a duplex. And I had to use the bathroom, so I was like, I'll just go to my house because it's clean. And
yeah.
I don't know these fucking randos, even though it was mainly friends of friends, and I've met most of them.
That's awesome, though. That's so nice to be able to like pop mm-hmm. out, take a dump, and go back.
Exactly. And then... You know those mid-party dumps you have to take?
Certainly when I was drinking, if I would have been drinking a lot, take a couple of shots, might get the runs.
I definitely smoked more cigarettes than I should have. I only smoke when I drink.
Ever does not smoke, y'all.
Mm-mm. So I feel like dog shit. I smoked like 4 cigarettes. That was, it's just a lot. And there was an earthquake last night, woke me up. I feel like garbage. I just start crying. Ellie, I feel like garbage.
It made me laugh so hard when you were here visiting and you smoked those Persian cigarettes, and then you said you were like, but they were like real small, and I was like, that does not.
They were tiny. Negate. I was like, these. I was like, y'all gay? I was holding them in my hand, looking at them like, y'all gay? These cigarettes,
tiny cigarettes, thin cigarettes, they seem gay.
Thin cigarettes, yeah, they were thin, they were smooth. Well, I was like, oh, go ahead.
My mama had some real thin ones, and they like came in like all these different colors, and like we thought they were like so cool in college. And my friend came home, and like I had read the packaging, and I swore I thought they said non-addictive. And so I told my friend, I was like, you can smoke as many of these as you want, these are non-addictive cigarettes. And then the next, like, we smoked like a pack that night. And then the next day, she's like, hey, let me see that box. I'm going to get me some of those. And then starts looking at it and goes, damn it, this says non-additive. I'm dyslexic.
I mean, I would have said that too. I would want it. I would want to believe non-addictive.
Yeah. I was like, you didn't question it.
Yeah, you wanted this as much as I did.
Yeah.
If you had really cared, you would have checked out the package before you smoked.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting defensive for you. I'm like, do not come to Allie that way. But yeah, it was fun. But I feel like, ooh, this ain't it.
Did you dance?
This ain't it, man. There was some dancing, but it was mainly just like talking shit and
nice.
Smoking and drinking and catching up and cutting up. It was great. It was fun. It was my first kind of like party like that.
Did you go as the mayor?
I went as the mayor. I fucked up the shawl on the first time.
A shawl? Like, okay, sash, buddy. A sash.
Okay. Additive addictive. Come at me. The sash. So I wrote the mayor, but I wrote it. Because I was like thinking in my head, like, I better write it backwards because I put the shaw on differently. And then it said the wearer, and like the R was backwards. And then like I was like, oh, I fucked up. So thankfully I redid it and I bought a really big blazer.
Nice.
For the thing. And then I just, hello, cigarette, you know. They're like, yeah, cool. But yeah, that's what, oh man, I'm trying to think. Of like Halloween icons, I would say Frankenstein is a gay Southern icon.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Big Dyke. I feel like
Big Dyke. I think she's. I think when I see Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I think chaotic bi.
Oh no, that does actually. Yeah,
because
yeah,
Willow was the
yeah
dyke.
Yeah.
But Buffy, I was like, I know you're bisexual, Buffy.
You know what I love, though? The Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
I have not
seen
that.
With Luke Perry.
Shit. Fuck me up, Luke Perry.
I know.
No, he's handsome.
I just would like to take this moment to personally apologize for all the dirty things I had my 90210 Barbies do. Rest in peace, Luke Perry.
Wait, did Luke Perry die?
What? I thought that's what you're talking about. Yes, Luke Perry died.
When did Luke Perry die?
Ever.
It's just in. Luke Perry died. This is how in touch with like with like cultural media or like the zeitgeist. Oh, he died in 2019.
Yeah. And he was like on the Riverdale show and they like had to, you know,
shit,
write him off.
Oh.
Desperado.
You better come to your senses. Neil, better that out. We don't have the royalties. Actually, if it's on Spotify, we can do it. Don't come at us. Yeah, wow. I didn't. Okay, so Luke Perry's has been passed.
Luke Perry has passed. So if you're thinking about going as him for Halloween, it's too soon.
I would say Luke Perry does look like a lesbian. Young Luke Perry and older Luke Perry before he died.
Yeah.
Definitely had like Ruby Rose kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Who I'm extremely attracted to, that Ruby Rose. But you know who I've never been attracted to? And we watched the movie last night, Jennifer's Body movie. Megan Fox.
Kristen Stewart?
No.
I'm not attracted. I thought that Kristen Stewart, you're going to say Kristen Stewart. Megan Fox. No, not.
No.
Not it.
Mm-mm.
Not it.
Never been into it.
No. You know why? Because she reminds me of the women that used to work at the CEFCO in my hometown.
Megan Fox does? Is that the gas station?
Something trashy. Yeah. There's just something trashy about it.
Yeah.
Trashy with a manicure and a Monster Energy drink and a...
No, a head full of... What's that Aquanet?
And you're driving around a little Sunfire. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that vehicle... You remember the Sunfire?
Yes, I do.
That company went under, but everybody had a Sunfire.
Yeah. That was a big one. I think my sister had a Celica.
Oh, I saw a Celica.
Yeah.
On the road. They put a big-ass spoiler on that thing. I said, you don't need that. Yeah, Celicas were tight.
Speaking of that, what's up with street racers in New York City? The speed limit everywhere is 25 miles an hour. Like, and there's so much traffic. Like, where are y'all racing at? But I see the cars.
Oh, y'all got them. See, in Los Angeles, nobody pays attention to the speed limit. I did do some New York moves now that I'm back.
Nice.
In LA driving. No, if you're going to go slow, I'm going to pass you and I'm going to be vicious about it.
Yeah.
I got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I'm just going to take it.
I tell people, have a fucked up day all the time.
Yeah, you have a...
That's what I say. You have a fucked up day.
You have a fucked up day. I would love just to be treated like a tiny little prince today. I always imagine. I was like, man, if I had like a massage, that would be great.
I'm just imagining me being there bringing you something on a pillow. One of those tiny pillows.
Yeah. Would you like a strawberry or a tiny pillow? Oh, shit, Allie. I have Epsom salt. Epsom salt is a queer Southern icon. My God. Love the older it. I get, the more I'm like, soak me up, daddy. Like, I would bottom for Epsom salt.
I love Epsom salt. But one time I read that, like, if you get constipated, you should drink it. And I tried that. And wow, does that taste bad?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't do it. I don't think. It said something on the bag. Like,
well, magnesium is good for that. And there's salt.
Yeah. But it really tastes bad. But yes, I also love Epsom salt.
Man, I was like, ooh, what can I do to feel better? Go on a walk. Take an Epsom salt bath.
Here's a little question for you. Why the hell is Dr. Teal so expensive?
It's the same thing. It's the same salt with essential thing. Oils.
Exactly.
Yes. I just bought 10 pounds. I'm not kidding. I bought 10 pounds of Epsom salt yesterday. They were having a sale. I got a 5-pound bag of lavender.
Oh.
Relaxing lavender and 5-pound bag of
eucalyptus.
Yes, you knew it. I said. Yeah, I'm going to need one of these sooner or later. And
listen, and I'm going to go smoke eucalyptus. 4 cigarettes and I'm going to need to get in the Epsom salt tomorrow.
I'm going to need to wrap myself in Epsom salt.
Gonna need to soak these chemicals right out of me.
Get out. Suck it out of me. Oh, I feel rough. Listeners, friends, I'm so sorry for the low energy. But we've been there.
Yeah.
Shit.
I was there for like 8 years. I felt like Ever feels right now for like 8 years straight.
That's rough. This is a rough way to feel. Okay, I don't mean to brag, but my little curio over here.
Your what?
The neighbor. I have like a curio, or not a curio, a console. Oh. A mid-century. I can't think. I need a salt bath. I need an Epsom bath. A soak. I got that out of the trash. She was moving, and she was just going to leave it for the trash man. And I said, can I have that? And she had her grandsons bring it to my apartment.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, you can go to like the fancy parts of New York where the rich people live. Get you some
renovate.
Nice stuff, you know?
Renovate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just cost you a tank of gas.
Your trash is my treasure.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
What? I know what you're talking about. Should we talk about coming out?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Speaking of trash to treasure.
We're neither of us are ready yet. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not ready, but I'm thinking about writing my parents a letter.
All right. Well, I think your story is so fantastic. You should go.
I feel very lucky. Okay. I feel very fortunate, very lucky. So I had come out to my friends in my early 20s. And my parents, like growing up, they had always known. And again, I'm from a town of like 900 people in Texas. And there's not a lot of gays. There was one gay guy. He was my friend. He lived down the street. And that was like scandalous. He was like a senior and I was like a sophomore. And I was like, oh, I better not be gay. And my parents growing up, they're like, if you're like Ellen, you could tell us. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? I'm funny. Like, yeah, I want to be a comic. And they're like, no, the other part. you know, they were like, it's okay. We love you no matter what. I grew up with a lot of like, we love you no matter what, which I really don't take for granted because I've kind of had to come out to them twice now.
Yeah.
And I was doing my first ever hometown show at Buckaroo's Bar and Grill, which is now closed, and a Southern Baptist church.
You heard that here. Ever?
You heard that here.
Headlined Buckaroo's.
I headlined Buckaroo's, which is not a gay bar. It sounds like a gay bar. Honestly, if I ever open up a gay bar, I'm going to call it Buckaroo's. Mm-hmm. Buckaroo's. And the owner was like a high school friend's dad. And he was so excited. He's like, we want to have you out. We heard you moved to Chicago. Come do it. Come do it. And I said, great. And there was, you know, the hometown paper called me. The Temple Daily Telegram called. And I remember taking my lunch break and calling, or not, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I talked to the Temple Daily Telegram on my lunch break. I worked at Starbucks underneath Piper's Alley, underneath the Second City.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the steps outside of it. And this woman was like, so tell me about your comedy. What do you do? And then she's like, you know, I looked you up online and it says you're gay. Are you going to be talking about gay stuff? And I was like, well, why? And she goes, I need to warn the readers.
Oh, my God.
Warn the
warn the weedos? The
weeder. Like a little baby. Warn. She wanted to warn the readers. I guess there was like a dyke coming into town or like, careful, gay. But like, it's insane now to think that that's what you... That was the norm.
Yeah.
We've chatted about it before in this podcast, but that was the norm. Like, oh, like you're gay, so you must be different and or bad or wrong or it was controversial. She's like, I'm going to warn the readers. And I was like, okay. And I felt weird. And I was like, I don't know what she's going to do. And like, I was getting some press in Chicago and some of it was like queer comedian. And I think up to that point, I was like, I'm bisexual, and I was gay. I just grew up thinking gay was bad, and like I couldn't be gay, and how could I be gay if I was like going to church and the leader of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and like pray? I still prayed. I had a cross wall.
We went to church together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Non-denominational. But you remember my apartment with Lindsay?
Yeah.
We had a wall of crosses. That is like a very Southern thing. Did y'all have those? It'd be like, this is the cross wall. This is where we put all of our eccentric little crosses, tin crosses, ceramic crosses, wooden crosses, wrought iron crosses, plastic crosses, painted crosses.
Yes.
Hobby Lobby crosses with a Bible quote or, you know.
Yeah.
So that was there, and it was conflicting for me to be like, no, I am gay. And this interview happened like late November, and I remember like the show was mid-December at Buckaroo's, and the night before, and I was feeling pretty anxious about this interview because I was like, is she going to out me?
Yeah.
What is she going to do?
Because you weren't out to anyone in your hometown, correct?
No, or my family. I mean, they had had their suspicions. And the night before the article came out, I said, Mom, we were in the kitchen. So I was telling my mom, I was like, you know, hey, Mom, this article is going to come out and I really need, I think we should tell Dad. I think they're going to say that I'm gay. And she goes, okay, well, let me just go to the living room and just let them know you have something that you need to tell them. And I remember kind of being in the kitchen and waiting. And then when I came into the living room, it was evening, and like he stood up and he and my mom like both gave me this bear hug. Like I was like in the middle, and then my dad was tearing up and just saying like, I love you so much. We love you so much. We're so proud of you, and nothing's going to change that. And I was crying and nervous. You know, I was afraid they weren't going to love me anymore. They would be disappointed or disgusted or whatever else I had been told about gay, you know, like,
yeah.
And I don't take that for granted, because I know a lot of people didn't get that. And, you know, my dad is fiercely loyal and loving, and you know, he hasn't always been one to show his emotions, but I know he loves me. Mm-hmm. And whatever I need to tell him, he will hear it.
Yeah.
And you know, and if that's going through a breakup and my buddy has hurt my heart, that's what he calls my girlfriends, my buddies, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna work on that.
Yeah.
One step at a time. So then I'm feeling great. I'm like, awesome. Okay, got that off my chest. My parents love me. Wake up the next morning. I'm front page news on the Temple Daily Telegram. I'm above the fold. You know, people are seeing my headshot at the time, which we were what, 20 something in Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know how to take a fucking headshot. And it said like Ever Maynard, comma lesbian. Bring some hometown pride. And it's like, yikes, you know, some confusion. Like some members of my family were like, we didn't know you were gay. You look just like us. I'm like, that's because you're gay. You are gay. Aunt Jessica, you're gay. But, you know, like I'm pretty close to my mom's side, and like there's, you know, I have a cousin who's gay, and I believe one of my mom's cousins is gay, and my grandma's always been very open and loving and just like, you know, I love you. It doesn't matter.
So your grandma's, you know, fluid?
Yeah, she was fluid. RIP, she passed in January, but damn if she didn't go down swinging. So that, I feel very fortunate about that. I had a great set at Buckaroo's for being only doing stand-up for a few years when you're in your 20s.
Yeah. You know?
The next year, they're like, do you want to do this again? I said, yeah. And then I just remember getting blackout drunk, mumbling. I don't remember the end of my set.
Yeah.
I only remember waking up and my parents unable to look at me. in the eye.
Yeah.
And we've actually never spoken about this, so I am going to call my mom.
I just the fact that it was like a hometown newspaper that outed you.
Yes. Yeah, the whole county found out. One reading.
Like, you just see all those gals from high school just being like, I had a feeling. Just
true. I just knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I wonder.
Yeah.
I got a few of those. No, get away from me. I'm in love with my improv partner. But recently, so I'm getting top surgery, and it's something that I've been really excited about, but nervous to tell my family, at least my parents. You know, because I tried to explain that I was non-binary to them, and I could tell they wanted to understand it, but they didn't get it.
Yeah.
So they were always be like, well, you'll always be our daughter. Like, we love you so much. And I was like, I know what they mean. They're not saying you're always going to be a girl.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you're our child and we love you and we want you to be happy. So Friday morning at 7 a.m., my alarm goes off and my mom sends me a text the same time. I'm like, uh-oh. So I call her and I'm like, hey, mom. And she's like, hey, how are you? And I was like, well, you know, and I'm kind of going through a breakup, and we talked about that, and I was like, oh, it just comes and goes. And she goes, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I keep having a dream or a sense there's something deeper that you're not telling me.
Oh,
she's like, I had Mama a dream knows. Last night. And she was like, do you want to tell me anything? And I started crying the same way when I was like, I have to tell Dad I'm gay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm afraid of how you and Dad will react. I'm going to have my breast removed. I'm going to have top surgery. And she cut me off and she was like, we love you no matter what. We want you to be happy. Like, I told her how, like, I cry when I look in the mirror and, like, I don't like to see myself topless. Like, it's hard. It's, you know, and because it doesn't match. And she was like, I know your father would agree that, you know, we don't want you to be sad to look at yourself. And then she was just like, you know, we've known for a long time that your insides don't match your outsides, and we love you, and we wish that there was a way to make that possible. Like,
yes, Mary.
Genetics. And I was like, holy shit. Like, hormonal, you know, I could take tea and I could get like bottom surgery, but she's talking like, she was like, I wish there was a way to like just to make it so for you, and it's not okay, you know. She's like, to suffer and you should have the body that you want and you should live the way you want. And then she said, it's nobody's business. And we started laughing because she was like, it's your body. Why would anybody in our family care about your tits? Like, it's nobody's business.
Wouldn't it be kind of weird though if somebody was like very
mad? My brother's homophobic.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he and his wife have made it very clear that people like me are perverts. Mm. And, you know, my mom did say, like, and if anybody has something to say, fuck them. And I was like, damn, my mom turned 60. She started saying fuck.
Nice, Mary.
Fuck. I'm like, okay, here we go. Mom's in the game.
I love it. Yeah. I heard about your mom for over a decade. I follow y'all.
On all
your shenanigans, and I get to meet Mary Maynard in a few months, and I'm so excited.
We should get mom to do on the podcast.
I think she should definitely be on the podcast.
Oh, 100%, Mary Lou.
Yes,
it's an issue. Oh man, we about to have a fight. So yeah, I feel very fortunate and very lucky, and I don't take it for granted the love that I was shown and can continue to be shown. So, you know, it's just, I'm just in a point in my life of like so many transitions, and literally and figuratively, and to have that kind of support, you know, I mean, I cried all day Friday because I was
I cried
so
when you texted me.
Yeah. And then I cried. My mom called me later that day. It was just like, I just want you to know I love you. And I was like, you know, like, I love you too. Like, just, it just made me feel so, like, cared about.
Oh, I love you that.
Know? Yeah. What about, okay, what about you?
Well, let's see. It was never like one big coming out thing. Like, I feel like it all happened in like steps, you know? Like, I told my Bubs, the monkey doctor, my brother, and I told my sister before I told other people in the family. And I came out first as bi. And like they've like it's like a lot of like initial reactions are just kind of like my sister, who is not one of my favorite people in the world, but goes when I was like, well, I have to tell you something. She goes, what, you're dating another black man? Yeah, that's what she said. And I was like, no, dating a Filipino woman, which was what I was doing at the time. And it's like almost kind of like
hateful, man. Shit.
Yeah, like they like knock it off as like, oh, liberal alley, you know, as though like I'm doing things to like try to get at them or something. Kind of not my brother, but like my sister and stuff. Like, no, I'm not like exploring. Like, it's like, no, this is who I am.
Right.
But when I started to date that girl, eventually I was like, I really want to tell my mom. And okay, we were going on a family cruise with my aunt, my uncle, my two cousins, me and Bubs, and Mama. And I'd been dating this girl for a little while, and I was like, I want to tell my mom. Mm-hmm. And so me and my mom got so drunk on this cruise, and we're sitting out on this like little balcony. And I could not, I know we ended up having like a very deep conversation, but I really could not tell you anything about it. But I just looked at her and I said, Mom, I'm gay. And my mom's immediate reaction was, did I tell you when I was 14, I kissed my friend Vicky? I was just like, damn it, Deborah, this ain't about you, woman.
This is my time on a carnival cruise.
Come on, this is my coming out on a carnival cruise.
God damn it.
So, no, like, really was not bothered by it at all. But still for, like, I would say, like, up until, like, I got with Melody, even though, like, I was regularly dating women, kind of like, oh, this is a phase.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm in my 30s. Like,
right, this is not a phase. This
you know how everybody goes through their gay 30s?
Right before they hit 40, they just gotta get it out of their system.
Get it out of there.
Get out.
Which I still identified as bi for probably until like I was with Melody. But really what that was more so was just that I was an alcoholic and very, very sad and would get drunk and get blackout and like have sex with men. Wasn't like relationships type thing.
Yeah.
I really, really wanted a relationship with a woman and had quite a few girls break my heart.
You and me both.
Quite a few girls break my heart.
Man, yeah. That's rough.
Yeah. One where I being outside of a bar in Chicago, the California Clipper, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So outside of like that 4 a.m. bar, wasted. It's like snowing. And you know how they have those like things that go around the door to like keep the cold wind out and everything? I'm in one of those with a girl, fingering her, and ask her,
damn, Allie, you are having sex this everywhere, man. You're fingering a girl in a bar vestibule.
Yeah.
You are hands down some girl's pants.
Yeah.
In the doorway of a 4 a.m. bar.
It was actually the chicken restaurant right next to it. I was in that vestibule because the chicken restaurant was closed, so we just popped in there real quick. But yeah, I remember like right after we like,
you are a gay Southern icon.
That is some redneck shit. Hey, you want to go over here in the vestibule of the chicken restaurant, get
Come
fingered?
On, man. finger looking good.
Yeah, right.
Like that. I'm sorry. Okay, so you're fingering a girl outside of the California Clipper and a chicken vestibule.
And I remember, like, right after, I was just like, do you think you would want to go to the movie sometime?
So this is like just a woman y'all were just having sex with at, and getting drunk together.
Yeah.
Y'all hadn't gone on a proper date.
Never. And but I ended up really liking her, and we would get drunk and we would hook up. And but then she, I remember she said to me, she was like, oh, I'm not gay. I don't like girls. Like, I like you, but like, and I'm like,
no.
Okay. I was just knuckles deep in this vestibule. How are you trying to, like, what?
Everybody's on their own path, man. That's the shitty part.
Yeah.
I've heard, yeah. I don't know if I like girls. I like you.
Yeah, like.
And it's like, I think you like girls, but you're too afraid to admit it.
Yeah. Which I can have a lot of compassion for, but I kept thinking, like, because we kept hooking up, like, oh, this is going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And it didn't. Which is fun.
I've never done that. That's what I'm trying to get into right now.
All right. Just
hooking up. And I've never done that before.
Yeah.
So maybe this little buckaroo, you know, hey, we've got our gay stages in our 30s before we hit 40. We've also got our, you know, I've never been a little tornado. I've never finger blasted someone in the vestibule of a.
You know, I want that for you, bud.
Thanks. I think I'll.
Or I'm like, do it. I don't know.
I'm too sensitive for it. I'll just, I wouldn't know how to end it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're, and then you guys go back to the California Clipper.
Yeah. And continue to drink. I don't even know what sent me on that tangent. But okay. So you heard about how I told my mom. My coming out story to my dad is probably my all time favorite. It's like 3 years after I've come out to my mom. I'm still not out to my dad. And I start dating someone who I do this as a bit on stage and did, like, looked a lot like Peter Pan, which I say on stage is a great starter lesbian.
Whom amongst us hasn't looked like Peter Pan? I went through Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah, you definitely did.
But instead of the smooth peanut butter, I was chunky. I was chunky Peter Pan.
I'll be honest, I prefer chunky. And I was just like, this relationship only lasted like 3 months, but like just fell head over heels in love. Just so in love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm in love and I'm just going to tell my dad. And so I was like, well, how am I going to do it? I was like, you know what? If I just show him a picture of the two of us, he's just going to figure it out. And so me and my dad were sitting at a bar.
Healthy.
Getting wasted, as we do. Or as he still does and I do not. But so we're getting wasted, and I finally get up the courage, and I pull out my phone, and I take it out, and I'm like, Daddy, I just wanted to show you a picture that this is, I started dating somebody, this is who I'm dating. And Dad looks at a picture, and, like, my daddy clears his throat a lot. He's always like, he's like, damn, sis, that right there is an ugly fella.
And then he's straight up roasting.
Yeah. Yeah. This person, who, by the way, is very hot. And then he looks at it even closer and goes, damn, I think it might be a woman. And I said, yeah, Daddy, yeah, I'm dating a woman. And he just said, well, that's all right, sis. Suck one once don't mean you're gay. What? Yeah. What?
Has your dad had sex with a man?
It's like my dad definitely sucked a dick. Like you can't suck him once, I mean, you're gay. Like, okay, well, whose dick did you suck? And like,
that's what
I have been bugging him about this for years. Like, since I can't, that was when I was like, what? I'm 35 now. That was when I was like 26 and just bugging him about it for years. And, I remember even one time I was playing Laugh Factory in Chicago, and I did that joke, and I was like, well, he happens to be here in the audience tonight.
No.
Yeah.
Did you ask him?
I was like, Dad, we all want to know, did you suck a dick or not? And the show was like sold out and that seat's like 200 and everybody's like dying. And my dad just like he just goes and clears his throat. We will take that as a yes. Excellent comedic timing on that one, Daddy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I bothered my dad about it and bothered him. And I've asked him over and over. I'm like, Dad, you did suck a dick. Like, just tell me. And then he told me when he was like a little kid or something, put one of his friend's wieners in his mouth or something.
Don't mean he's gay.
Suck one once don't mean you're gay.
Don't mean you're gay. You guys got to figure it out. Sometimes like, you just got to figure it out.
Well, do you want to hear about how it's been many times?
Yeah. This is Peter Pan, but you haven't met the Lost Boys yet. Yeah.
And I've never really felt like my dad particularly cares one way or the other if I'm gay. There's never been much of like an issue around it. I did get in an argument with my oldest brother once, and he like said really mean things about how it's wrong to be gay and I'm never going to be able to have children and all these things. But like, I'm really proud of like our growth because he no longer feels that way. And
that's awesome.
Has been able to like come to me and say, you know, like I was really wrong and I apologize. And so like, I just want to say like as like having so many Southern people in our lives, like that, yeah, if somebody's never been exposed to something or been around something and aren't used to it, like they're not necessarily trying to be hateful all the time, you know, that it's like, you know, and I was able to show him like I'm the same exact person. There's nothing. And then he's like, oh, was able to come to the realization of, oh, well, what like I thought is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes we have to, I think, have some compassion and forgiveness for others as well.
And yeah. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's frustrating to be like, I got to do this fucking work too.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it makes me feel good that relationship is being restored.
It has been, very much so. Yeah.
That we're about at time.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
My dad sucked a dick.
And that's it.
And everybody's okay with me being gay. Although I did like in church, like I remember being at church specifically and hearing the preacher talk about how it was a sin and it was wrong.
Oh, I hate that shit.
Yeah. I prank called him.
The preacher.
I prank called the preacher.
And okay, leave us on this.
Okay. Yeah. So the preacher was talking at church about how wrong it is to be gay. I was in high school. Me and my dad were at service, and when we got home, I called the preacher and I left a voicemail message and I was like, hello, this is Nancy from the Gay and Lesbian Society. We have heard that the Lighthouse of God has been so open to the gay community. And I just personally wanted to call and say thank you for your support. And left this whole message. And then like 5 minutes later, the preacher calls back and my dad answers the phone. And then I hear my dad, Allie, and I come in there and he's like, did you prank call the preacher? And I was like, what? He's like, well, you didn't hide our number. I forgot to press like the *67 or whatever.
Yeah.
But apparently the preacher called him and was like, I'm so sorry if I offended y'all today or something, Jerry. And it was
that's funny.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Got him.
Got him. Well, this has been another episode of Y'all Gay.
Yeah.
We hope that you've enjoyed our stories and they've helped you.
Yeah.
I'm so hungover. I don't know how to end this. I want to take an Epsom salt soak. I need a soak. And not in the Mormon way. Have you heard about that?
What?
Where the boys, it's called soaking, where the, so they'll have, so it's not sex if you don't thrust. So the male will be inside the girl and then a best friend jumps on the bed.
What?
It's called soaking.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that gross?
Well, I mean, what?
So it's a technicality to get around sex.
Oh, I get it.
That
But it's like in the vagina. It's not in the butt.
The penis is in the vagina, sitting in it.
Okay.
And then your best friend jumps on the bed, so then you're both moving. So you're not doing the thrusting.
That's the kind of threesome I'm talking about.
Bounce. Yeah, do the work for us.
I'm tired.
I need an Epsom. That's gonna be my first three ways. Just gonna be a soak. Like, where I'm like, just do the work.
Can you imagine walking and be like, so did you guys want to jump first or?
Hey, I would at this point. I'd have to be the third. I'm like, I'm not here to do any jumping. I'll lay down. One of y'all can jump, and in 30 minutes, call me a lift. I don't want to be here in the morning. I'm going to set a time on it. 30 minutes. I'm not trying to do a marathon. No. I'm trying to come and then get out of there.
Yeah. Look, I came from a quick soak.
Yeah. I'm not here for some relaxing soak.
No.
I just need a quick soak so I can go to bed. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. I'm Ever Maynard.
I'm Allie Clayton.
And we just want to know.
Y'all gay?
Hey y'all, the tea is crystal queer, y'all. Y'all say, y'all gay, it's Allie and Ever here, y'all. We got a lot to talk about, so let us ask you now, y'all gay.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.